Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the MTN Group trading update. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Tato Mohlante. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good day to everyone, and thank you very much for taking the time to dial in to discuss MTN Group's trading update for the quarter ended September 2022. My name is Tato Mohlante, Head of Group Investor Relations, and on the call with me is Ralph Mkupita, our Group CEO, as well as Tsholo Molefe, our Group CFO. Also joining us on the call is Charles Malatsi, who is the CEO of MTN South Africa, as well as Dineo Molefe, who is the CFO of MTN South Africa, as well as Sarine Doom, who is the CEO of MTN Group Fintech. A reminder that our trading update was published this morning on the JSE, and it is posted on our website on the Investor Relations page. I trust that you have all seen the Q3 releases from our listed opcos in Nigeria, Ghana, Uganda, and Rwanda, which are part of our regular reporting lineup, and they've reported over the past week. They published results in their investor calls over the past few days. For today's call, it's my pleasure to hand over to Ralph and Tsholo shortly, who will provide an overview of the business as well as the financial performance, and then give you some outlook remarks. We can then open the lines for Q&A, which will be facilitated by the operator. Finally, just to note that this call is scheduled to wrap up in about an hour's time. We might spill over a little bit. We've got a lot to get through. But on that note, let me hand over to Ralph.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tato, and very good afternoon from me as well. I trust that everybody's keeping well. We appreciate you taking time to join us on this call. Hope you've had a chance to go through what we think is a comprehensive trading update since that we published earlier this morning. And I guess you can sum up, if you've read it fully, you'll see that it's been quite a busy quarter for us here at the MTN Group. Onto our trading update, we remain encouraged by the resilience of the group as we delivered solid operating and financial performance across our markets under very difficult macroeconomic, geopolitical, and regulatory conditions. We are, however, pleased with the continued robust growth in data traffic and fintech transaction volumes, bearing testament to the structurally higher demand for data and fintech services in our markets being sustained during this challenging period. Operationally, the group has delivered solid results for the 9 months ended 30 September 2022, in line with our medium-term targets with double-digit service revenue growth in constant currency terms. We maintained positive operating leverage in the period with an improvement of the EBITDA margin supported by expense efficiency program. The holdco leverage improved slightly and remaining well within guidance. We continued with the progress on cash upstreaming and repatriated a total of 1.5 billion rand from Nigeria post the quarter, ended at an average exchange of approximately 560 naira to the dollar. So we'll update further on the cash upstreaming in the period. Over the course of this call, we'll unpack our performance covering 5 broad themes, starting with how we are navigating through the difficult trading conditions. The solid financial and operating performance recorded will be the second theme that I'll cover. Thirdly, I'll update on a few of our strategic priorities. At that point, I'll hand over to Tsholo to talk you through the fourth and fifth themes, which is unpacking the financials and our financial resilience, respectively. That will include some details on the financial performance covering the key markets and regions. After that, I'll come back to wrap up with outlook and any concluding remarks. So starting off with navigating the difficult trading environment. Most of you will be aware of the global developments over the past few months and quarters that have created a more challenging operating environment across our markets. Inflationary trends in particular have continued to put pressure on consumers and our business during the period. To give you some color, the blended inflation rates in MTN markets rose to 15.3% by end September 2022. And this compares to 9.1% at the start of this year, so an increase of more than 6 percentage points year to date. We've also had some supply chain disruptions compounded by the weakening of local currencies and limited availability of dollars in many markets. Our regulatory environment has also been challenging. there is ongoing implementation of SIM registration regulations affecting some of our key markets, as well as new taxes and levies in some of our key fintech markets that have slowed the momentum of revenue growth in the short term. I'm sure you all have heard Carl and Salom talk to you through some of these issues and their cause for Nigeria and Ghana earlier. As our interim results, you may recall that I spoke about the key initiatives we're executing on to mitigate some of the risks and impacts of our trading environment. These interventions include selective price reviews to help sustain our commercial momentum in the current inflationary environment. There are a number of noteworthy markets such as South Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, Uganda, and Cote d'Ivoire, where we are engaged with regulators in this regard. This is supported by our CVM efforts, which are designed to also optimize effective tariffs achieved, as well as managing churn. We have programs in place to mitigate these risks to our supply chain and the disruptions we are seeing globally. We rely on our scale and partner relations to ensure rolling coverage for critical spares that sustain our networks and operations. We are engaged with some key suppliers on changing price books to local currency rather than USD or Euro-based pricing. We are impressing on these suppliers that this is critical for longer-term ability to invest efficiently in our networks and platforms, so it's good for us and also good for them. We've also accelerated CapEx in key markets and areas with an aim to support growth, as well as manage supply chain and foreign currency risks. We are managing the effects of energy costs and currency fluctuations on our networks proactively with our tower companies. We are in discussions in markets like Nigeria, Rwanda, Ghana, Uganda, South Africa, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, and Zambia to renegotiate some of our tower agreements focused on power and mix of local currency and hard currency elements to unit prices. Our focus is to ensure terms that provide some protection to the business from the impacts of inflation and foreign currency volatility going forward. In South Africa specifically, our second largest market, the unprecedented levels of load shedding have negatively impacted the overall network availability and some business functions. However, we've made good progress in the implementation of our network resilience plan, which we expect to mitigate the impact of persistent power cuts in the country. I have Charles Molapiti online as well, so you can ask him questions on how he's making progress with regards to load shedding. Moving on to expense efficiency program and working capital initiatives, these have been progressed well and helped to cushion the effects of elevated inflation on our business and safeguarding cash flows. This underpins the ongoing work to strengthen our financial resilience, which Sulu will talk to. So that's at a high level overview of our macro and trading environment and how we are managing the business within that context. The second theme is the solid financial and operating performance delivered in Q3 in a challenging trading conditions. We are very encouraged by the sustained commercial momentum and solid execution across our market with disciplined cost control. And this has been underpinned by the structurally higher demand we see for our data and fintech services. On group service revenue, as you'll have seen, that was up 14.3% in constant currency. With sustained operating leverage, we saw our EBITDA up to 14.7, with a slight margin improvement of 0.3 percentage points to 45.3. This performance was in line with our medium-term targets and supported, as I mentioned earlier on, by disciplined cost control. Again, Sulu will unpack this a little bit later, but you will have seen from our SENS and reports in the past and the reports in the past week, the resilient performance from MTN SA, as well as strong results reported by Nigeria and Ghana. I'm very pleased to see MTN SA growing subscriber market share. And Charles and Dineo are on the call, as I said, and can provide you with more color on where the growth is coming from and how that will deliver value over time. In our commercial trends, overall subscribers grew 6.8% year-on-year to reach just shy of 285 million subscribers. This was good growth despite the increased technical churn in MTN Nigeria brought about by the new SIM regulations. It was mitigated by the acceleration in gross connections in the market as we ramped up the capacity to manage SIM registrations and NIN enrollment. We anticipate a moderation in churn in Q4 with a recovery in the MTN Nigeria subscriber base. Growth in data traffic and fintech transaction volumes continue to be robust, demonstrating the point we've made around the structurally higher demand for our services across our markets. Active data subscribers increased just slightly under 15% year on year to over 135 million, and data traffic was up 39.7%. And within that traffic mix, South Africa's traffic was up 36%, MTN Nigeria up 71%, and Ghana up around 28%. So we continue to invest in the capacity and coverage of our networks to drive the growth. In the third theme of strategic priorities, I just want to start by reflecting on the development of our fintech business, which links to our commercial performance. The top line of fintech was 12.9% in constant currency, where the momentum is facing some short-term headwinds we have spoken about before. The introduction of new taxes and levies has slowed down revenue growth in some key markets such as Ghana, Benin, and Cameroon. In addition, we've seen some aggressive price competition in Côte d'Ivoire. Unpacking some of these and starting with Ghana, the largest mobile market in our footprint, the introduction of the e-levy in the markets and the 25% tactical reduction in P2P fees to cushion the impact have put pressure on top-line growth. But we are encouraged by the recovery in the trend where fintech revenues grew by approximately 7% year-on-year in Q3 after declining 4.4% in Q2 in that market. This was supported by good momentum in the ecosystem KPIs, with active users up 16%, transaction volumes then gone up 57%, this corroborates the impact of the interventions that we've put in place in that market. In Côte d'Ivoire, the decline in service revenue we've spoken about over the past year or so was impacted by intense competition, which saw us having to reduce P2P pricing as well as for withdrawals. We are encouraged by the notable active user growth of just under 24% for the 9 months and the ongoing recovery in transaction volumes, which have increased by 113% in Q3. Based on this trajectory, we are seeing and we anticipate that the fintech service revenue should return to positive growth by the end of the quarter. Excluding MTN Ghana and Côte d'Ivoire, impacted by the issues that I mentioned, fintech revenue growth was actually up 21.4% in the rest of the portfolio. In MTN Nigeria, the Momo PSB business is key to our fintech growth ambitions. It continued to gain traction with strong growth in the registered wallet base, which more than doubled to 9.9 million, demonstrating good underlying momentum. We saw a bit of short-term pressure on active wallets in Q3 as we focused on enhancing control systems to enable Momo PSB to reopen the NIPS interface. We expect this to reopen in Q4 of this year, which will boost active wallet growth and activity levels in Nigeria. Eli Hini, who has been the CEO of the fintech business in Ghana, has just been appointed CEO designate for Momo PSB in Nigeria and brings a lot of experience in the building of basic and advanced services that will support the expansion and scaling of this business. It is also worth noting the performance of MTN Uganda's fintech business, our second largest Momo market by service revenue. Transaction volumes there increased by 30.7% with a focus on advanced services. I was just talking about the Uganda fintech business. As I mentioned, the transaction volumes had increased by 30.7% with a focus on advanced services. And we've seen a growth in active users of 19%. And this has helped to drive revenue growth to 23.4%. So we're particularly pleased with this outcome, which was delivered despite a new entrant coming into that market. So we are seeing that our fintech strategy is effective and resilient despite increased regulatory and competition. If we look at the overall picture, our Momo users grew by 23.3% to 63 million. The number of transactions through our fintech platform increased by 32.7% to 9.5 billion. The number of active Momo agents and merchants rose by 27.4% and 64.4% respectively, both to over 1 million each. Those are the trends in our ecosystem that make us excited about the strength and growth of our fintech business and our priority to drive financial inclusion in our markets. In terms of other initiatives, our JV with Sanlam reached a significant milestone when it closed on the 1st of this month, following the fulfillment of all conditions precedent, as well as competition and regulatory approvals across all the markets we operate in. We are also broadly on track with the managed separation of our fintech business, and we are in the second phase of engagement towards binding offers from potential strategic investors into the group fintech business. You may also have seen that we have sent today a save the date for a capital market day on 6 December, where we will provide an update on not just our fintech business, but our ESG across our business. Briefly on MTN Global Connect, this is also progressing well as we scale its fixed connectivity and also mobility service across our continent. We rolled approximately 5,000 kilometers of additional fiber, taking our overall tally to 105,000 kilometers as of the end of September 2022. So we're well on our way to our target of establishing 135,000 kilometers of proprietary fiber across our markets by 2025. We are working on having the separation of the fiber business by the end of next year. Within the context of Global Connect, we're also looking to create a data center company, or DCCO, that will house our major data centers. We will seek strategic and financial partner for a with scale and experience of managing large data centers within the DCCO, and we'll provide more updates on that in the first in quarter one of next year. A very brief update on our portfolio transformation. As part of our orderly exit of the Middle East and Pan-African focus, we have now entered into agreements with M1 for acquisition of the MTN Afghanistan shares that will see us exit the market in an orderly manner. The binding offer is for gross proceeds of $35 million, and the transaction is subject to various conditions precedent, including the conclusion of a transition agreement and regulatory approvals. We should close the transaction in early 2023. Finally, on 19 October 2022, we updated the market that our discussions had been terminated regarding a proposed acquisition of the entire share capital of Telkom for shares or shares in cash. The discussions were terminated as we communicated that we were not able to align with the counterparty on the way forward for the potential transaction. We are obviously disappointed that we could not progress, but we are highly convicted that this transaction would have created compelling value for all stakeholders in an industry that is consolidating and will require scale to deliver returns above what is now a rising cost of capital. Perhaps on this note, it's worth providing some high-level color on how we think about our MTN strategy, particularly in own the home. This is underpinned by MTN SA's best network, leveraging 4G fixed LTE, Tirana Air fiber, 5G fixed wireless access, and fiber to the home. In other words, acceleration in the segment will be driven by leveraging both fixed wireless access and fiber to the home technologies. And MTN SA will thus continue to invest in both technologies to advance its own the home strategy. Charles is on the call, as I mentioned, and can take questions that you may have around this home strategy. Overall, we believe that MTN SA remains very well positioned to capture growth in the consumer, enterprise, and wholesale markets and deliver on its medium-term guidance. At this point, let me hand over to Tsulu, and I'll come back at the end to make some concluding remarks. Tsulu?
Thank you, Ralph, and good afternoon to everybody. I have the pleasure of taking you through some key financial highlights for the period. Ralph gave you some of the headline numbers, which I think is important to reiterate that these results were delivered against ongoing challenging trading conditions. So continuing with our theme for this call, I will now cover our financial performance in a little bit more detail. And as usual, I will refer to constant currency trends. Just to briefly recap the group performance, service revenue grew by 14.3% and EBITDA by 14.7%, again in a very tough trading environment, with a margin improvement of 0.3 percentage points to 45.3%, really underpinned by the expense efficiency program. With Nigeria and Ghana having already provided comprehensive reports of their performance, as we indicated, they grew service revenue by approximately 20.7% as well as 28.3% respectively, with healthy EBITDA margin development in both markets. It is worth highlighting some of the details from MTN South Africa, which is our second largest market. MTN SA recorded service revenue growth of 3.5% with a resilient quarter three growth rate of 2.2% year on year. Given the pressures in the trading environment and load shedding experience, we are really pleased with the resilience that the market has shown, delivering a solid performance in this period. The results were underpinned mainly by growth in data of 13.5% on the back of increased data traffic. In the consumer business unit, as anticipated, the consumer prepaid business remained strained with service revenue growth of 0.4% year on year, and this was down 1.2% for the quarter three year on year, as consumers felt the impact of economic pressures and job losses. This was further exacerbated by the persistent load shedding, which has really had a significant impact on the voice growth in particular. Postpaid service revenue grew by 4.2% year on year and by 2.6% for the quarter on an increased uptake in data-oriented packages. This growth was delivered despite deteriorating consumer spending and credit conditions in the market. The enterprise business delivered another strong performance, service revenue growing at 19.7%, really underpinned by robust growth in the core mobile business from strong data product propositions. Wholesale revenue increased by 0.7%, underpinned by the national roaming deals with Cell C and Telkom. You will have seen announcements in September 2022 that Cell C concluded its recapitalization. The performance of wholesale and MTN were more broadly impacted by concessions to support the Cell C recapitalization and help the sustainability of that business. The term of these concessions are obviously confidential and not disclosed. You may have picked up in the sense an amount of 82 million that may have been confusing. This amount is actually the quantum of outstanding national roaming revenue due from Cell C that were previously referred to as unrecognized revenue under the cash basis of accounting. As we have communicated in the past, the recapitalization will significantly improve Cell C's final position. Therefore, based on the recapitalization and Cell C's improved payment profile, MTN SA has assessed that it is now appropriate to recognize revenue for national roaming services on an accrual basis of accounting. BTS rental revenue from Cell C will, however, remain on a cash basis of accounting for now. The national roaming agreement with Telkom aligns with the group's work to monetize investments in networks, took effect on the 1st of November 2021. Off a low base, it gained traction in the 9 months to 30th September this year, increasing its contribution to revenue and scaling steadily. MTN SA that sustained its EBITDA by 0.7% and demonstrating its resilience supported by commercial execution and continuous cost efficiencies. The EBITDA margin contracted by 1.4 percentage points to 40.2%, which includes the once-off gain on disposal of the SA towers. If we exclude this gain effect, the underlying EBITDA margin would have been 39.5%, which is down 2.1 percentage points. This is within our target of 39 to 42% EBITDA margin corridor, which is encouraging, impacted by high cost of sales from device sales as well as increased OPEX associated with network resilience interventions. Just briefly on the regional performance, you would have noted that growth was quite healthy as well. All regions delivered double-digit top-line growth, with the SIA region up at 10.9%, WECA up 12.8%, and MENA growing by 63.3%. The latter excludes MTN Iransel, which we equity account for. That also grew service revenue by 35.1%. EBITDA margins across the regions were resilient in the context of the sharp increase in inflation and in most of our markets and the economic pressure on consumers. This has been supported by our group-wide expense efficiency program, which I will speak about later on. Ralph has also covered some of the detail in our fintech performance, where revenue growth was 12.9%. I'll just reiterate that we are encouraged by the ecosystem development, which builds the foundation for revenue growth over the medium term, especially as we drive advanced services, as we focus on growing our bank tech, payments and e-commerce, remittances and as well as the JV InsurTech verticals. Because of the solid user and usage growth, coupled with the effect of price reductions, which are expected to be met in the fourth quarter, we anticipate that revenue, FinTech revenue, should start returning to growth by the end of the quarter 2022, the last quarter of 2022. Very quickly on CapEx, before I talk about our balance sheet, we've capitalized 23.8 billion rand in the last 9 months, ensuring that we sustain our second to none networks and technology platforms while prioritizing the coverage and capacity of our 4G networks and the rollout of our 5G sites. This is key in supporting the growth and our overall 2025 ambitions as we continue to know that the demand for data is sustained at structurally higher levels. Turning to the fifth theme, the momentum in our financial resilience initiatives is firmly entrenched as we are accelerating our expense efficiency program with a continued focus on savings in our network and IT, sales, and as well as distribution costs. In the third quarter, we realized efficiencies of 930 million across the group, bringing a total of year-to-date 2.8 billion rand in savings. We continued with our efforts as well to optimize working capital, and in terms of these initiatives, we concluded an agreement to sell a part of the MTN SA's device receivables book to a commercial bank in October 2022, enabling us to release 1 billion rand in cash. Our balance sheet is very resilient with healthy liquidity position. At a consolidated group level, our net debt to EBITDA ratio was 0.5% as at September 2022 versus 0.5 times as at September 2022 versus 0.4 times at June 2022, which remained comfortably within our covenants. Holdco leverage remained stable as at 30th September since June 2022, now at 0.8 times, well below our medium-term guidance. We are pleased that in September 2022, we also executed on liability management of our 2024 maturity Eurobonds and early settled $300 million in non-rand debt from the existing US dollar cash balances. In addition, we raised 2.6 billion rand of long-term rent-denominated bonds in South Africa through the domestic medium-term note bond auction. In the past week, we also completed the update of the DMTN program for the latest JSE debt listing requirements and regulatory updates, and increased the program size to 35 billion rand from 20 billion rand existing program that we had. So overall, these interventions help to further advance our balance sheet strategy with a focus on reducing non-rand debt and mitigating refinancing risk by smoothing and lengthening our debt maturity profile. To update you just on our upstreaming progress, we managed to repatriate dividends and management fees amounting to a total of 2.1 billion rand from our operating companies in this third quarter, especially bringing the year-to-date total to 11.5 billion rand as at the end of September. While no cash was upstreamed from Nigeria during the last quarter, we did receive 1.5 billion rand of cash from Nigeria post these results at an average rate of around 560 naira to the dollar, as Ralph mentioned earlier, post the period end, which then brings the total year-to-date cash upstreamed from Nigeria to now 6 billion rand. So I'm pleased with the progress that we've made so far and really remain confident that we are well positioned to maintain our financial resilience given the challenging operating environment across our market. At this point, I will then pause and hand over to Ralph.
Yeah, thanks so much, Salut. Maybe to make a few concluding remarks. The first point is that we're encouraged by the resilience of the business with a solid performance in a very difficult macro backdrop that I think you're all familiar with. I think the second point is that given the inflationary environment in most of our markets, we'll continue to execute on our interventions and initiatives to mitigate the impacts on the business. I think go through some of the detail. As I mentioned, we've got very clear plans that are under the bucket of commercial, supply chain, the network resilience plan for that is important, and then power management, being the other. For South Africa, I'm very pleased to see South Africa gaining subscriber market share. The business is growing very solidly in the enterprise space. We've gained some concessions, which you can, as Sulu said, are obviously confidential, but they are obviously material to help support SLC's recapitalization. The consumer postpaid business is relatively resilient, but there is obviously pressure that you see in the prepaid market, particularly at the bottom end of the market, where our consumers are obviously battling to manage with inflation on food and energy and transport costs and against other expenditure, including telecommunications. But we still believe that this business will deliver quite strongly and particularly guaranteeing us at the group level solid cash flow being upstreamed by the OpCo and continued strengthening of the network to ensure that we don't lose the best network claim that we've currently had for several years. On Nigeria, the focus has been on commercial momentum. Carl and team, we have spoken to them earlier in the week. They've got very strong commercial momentum in the business. I think we're seeing data really growth coming through, and we're able to monetize that. On fintech, once we've completed the next interface, we should see the active wallets growth there. So we feel pretty bullish and confident that we should see growth on fintech into the new year that's ahead. On fintech, again, the group fintech process, as we mentioned, we focused on now looking to conclude the binding offer phase with several parties that we believe can help us accelerate the growth of business and then taking a minority shareholding that will probably be approximately somewhere up to a maximum of about 20%, if not slightly lower. And we're going to continue investing in our networks to meet growth ambitions that we have. And we'll spend a total of 35 billion rand in CapEx. So this is unchanged from the previous guidance, maintaining our CapEx intensity within the target range of 18 to 15%. And so to this end, and despite the near-term uncertainties we are seeing in our operating environment, we remain confident that the structurally higher demand for data and fintech services is intact and supporting our medium-term growth outlook, medium-term 3 to 5 years. And we continue to focus on the Ambition 2025 strategy to drive growth, deliver the OpCo balance sheets, and unlock value that we see in our business. And for those who wonder where the dividend guidance is part of the medium-term guidance, in the year it is. And obviously, we feel quite comfortable to deliver to shareholders the 330 cents per share for FY 2022. But that declaration point comes after the full year results are released in March of next year. And with that, Tato, over to you. And I think we can open up for Q&A.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ralph. And just once again, apologies to everybody on the line for the experience on the call. We will ensure that it's a better experience going forward. I mean, with that, I think we can open up for Q&A, and I'll hand back over to the operator.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that if you wish to ask a question, you are welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. If you, however, wish to withdraw the question, you may press star and then two to remove yourself from the question queue. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star and then one. Our first question is from Jonathan Kennedy-Good of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. First one on the fintech investment into first quarter next year. Just trying to understand, what type of investor you are targeting. Obviously, we've seen, the kind of typical investment from Visa, MasterCard, et cetera, in your competitor businesses. Just trying to understand what kind of investor you may be targeting, and given the fact that ratings on these assets have declined so much in the past year, trying to understand the kind of urgency for a capital injection there at the moment, given it doesn't seem that you really need it. So that's question one. And then just on South Africa, around the network in terms of the sale of the tower assets to IHS, did that exclude provisions to or agreements on a service level agreement to for power supply in South Africa? And a follow up there, I think your strategy on energy is a battery led backup system. Can you try and explain to us, you know, at what point or what kind of level of load shedding battery backup starts to fail and you need to rely on diesel? Thank you.
Okay. Tamas, I'll take the first question and then pass on the network one to Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, Jonathan, I mean, it's a great question that you asked. I mean, and I guess maybe to reframe how we thought about the fintech, you know, process, we've always said that as we transition from basic services to advanced services, that process can be accelerated by a few select partners who bring capability and scale that can help us, you know, proceed with our strategy even faster. So a partnership-based approach. Well, that partnership-based approach is looking at in the underlying verticals of fintech, insurtech, bank tech, e-commerce and payments, remittances, that we have some global partnerships in each of these verticals to help the acceleration in the markets. And so that's well in train across our markets. But we also say that at the top core level, for a minority investment, and we've always said that we wouldn't seek to do more than 30. As I mentioned, I think you can read from what I said that we're looking more like towards 20, that we could bring in some of those partners into the top core level as partners. And you quite rightly say, I mean, we don't need the money, but we want to execute our strategy. So we're very, very mindful, you know, of valuation process. And hence, we said we didn't want financial investors. So you will hear us saying that this process is only for strategic investors. If we were looking at financial investors, we wouldn't be running this process whatsoever. So I think as we conclude the process, you should anticipate that we have thought through the valuation issues. And there is enough, you know, points of data out there in the markets on what we think our own investors would think a reasonable or a good valuation for this process would be. If we can't get that, we won't proceed. Now, as I've mentioned, we are now in the second phase of that. So we have a sense that, you know, we'll get, you know, a valuation that, you know, for approximately up to 20% maximum as we look at the process we're in, that valuation would not reflect the valuation that you've seen in companies such as Klarna and others. And hence, for us saying we're looking for strategic investors who are going to be with us for the long term. So these are all parties that we've engaged with, and some of them approached us, etc. And we said we only want partners who can see their way through a five-year-plus period of partnering. So that deals with the question of the type of investor. They bring capability and skill in a particular vertical. They have an interest to also be part of the group fintech business as it scales across the markets, and they have the capital, and they have an understanding ultimately on what we think fair value for this company would be. And to your point, we don't really need the money. We're not doing it as an asset realization program. So as I said, we should come back early quarter one with the outcomes of that process. We're in the mining phase with that as we speak. Charles, can I pick on network?
Thanks, Ralph. Jonathan, just on the two questions asked, let me first start with the IHS power as a service. The question you're asking is whether we assign power as a service is included in the agreement with IHS. The answer to that is a definite yes. It is not just about our management. We have a separate power as a service agreement with them. You will appreciate the fact that they only started to take over the operations from the 1st of August. And I think during that period, we have now done almost two phases for battery rollout in terms of resilience. So that covers, I think, that part of the question. We are buying from them just to be very clear, we are buying service level, the availability. We are not necessarily buying the tech. And I think I'm just saying this, you know, to pivot to our next question, because you said the strategy is battery led. You know, our essence is that we buy availability, we don't buy the technology. So it's a mix. In some sites, we deploy batteries because obviously it's about prioritization. But in some sites, and then we look at a different mix in terms of what we need to deploy. And the question about at what level does the batteries that we deploy fail? We do quite well, I think, stage one to stage four. And then we begin to struggle in terms of the autonomy of the batteries around stage six. But I guess as we move forward, then we start to put more rectifiers. And then you can put a bit more resilience on the network. Either you overlay that with diesel, or you overlay that with solar beyond just the battery. So the mix eventually will be determined by the level of availability on the site, but it is not necessarily just it's all pure battery land. Just answer those questions. Thanks.
Yeah, maybe just to top and tail on that point, Jonathan, what Charles can also buy is called platinum service. So as he said, he buys availability. And however IHS delivers that availability, but you'll have a base rate, but you can also have platinum. Once you're above a kind of level six, Charles, in wanting to make sure that you've got a good network quality, you know, will move towards, more of the platinum type service, which is looking to guarantee availability. And it's up to IHS to configure batteries and gensets as they need to meet the availability, the buying availability from IHS.
Okay.
Jonathan, thanks very much. Thank you.
Our next question is from Madhvendra Singh of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Couple of questions. Firstly, on the data revenue growth trends, there's a bit of slowdown in third quarter compared to second quarter. So just wondering if that is a temporary slowdown, you think, or is this a natural moderation in data revenue growth due to the base effect and so on? So that's the first one. And secondly, for South African market, if you could talk about the underlying growth trends, that will be very helpful. What I mean by that is, you did have a couple of issues like load shedding, also CELSI recognition changes and all that. So if you could talk about the actual underlying overall service revenue growth trend, that will be helpful. Thank you.
Now, maybe let me start with your second question first, and then I'll ask Charles and or Linnea to provide. But, you know, if you look beyond, you know, the ins and the outs of South Africa and the changing accounting, I think you've got to look at the state of the consumer as well as the enterprises. So let's start with the consumer. There is more resilience in the mid to upper end of the market, and you see that in the resilience of consumer postpaid. You know, we've had decent net additions there, and, you know, decent data growth in particular, and Charles can talk about that a bit more. On SA prepaid, which is also at the low end of proxy for the consumer at the lower end, there's certainly pressure there. And you'll see if you decompose the service revenue growth that in quarter three, actually you had negative growth in Charles and Dinero's business in the consumer prepaid. Voice in particular was impacted. So we would like to see prepaid voice grow negative. We anticipate it will grow negatively. But we want that number to be, you know, kind of less than minus 9%, if you know what I mean. But that's a double-digit number on voice. And it's also been affected by not just the consumer pressure, but also on network. Those consumers tend to be also in areas that are probably even more remote. They're using data service sometimes that the network is not. The enterprises, interestingly enough, you know, in our experience, seem to be a lot more resilient. And Charles would like to offer them more ICT services. So the large enterprises, you know, look fairly resilient to us. So the real pressure point we're seeing is actually the consumer prepaid, but at the lower end of that. Charles, do you know any color?
Yeah, I'm Ralph. Thanks so much. I will ask him also to come in. I think, you know, I mean, largely if you look at our business, let's talk about some of the parameters. I mean, if you look at the number of subs. We've grown the subs by 8.1%. In the YTD basis, and then you look at market share gains in the quarter across all the regions. So I think very good performance, on those. Then look at the active data subs. The business delivered 11.7% in terms of active data subs. Enterprise business, I spoke about it. What is very pleasing about this business is that across all layers, whether it's large enterprise, public sector, SMB, there's a very good significant growth, across all the layers. So that makes it a bit more resilient, in terms of the challenges that we face in the economy today. So the number of parameters of the business, if you exclude, for instance, if we were to normalize the performance of the prepaid business that you are concerned about, if you were to normalize that outside load shedding, you're actually talking of practically, 1.5 to 2% potential growth for the quarter. So that just shows you that the underlying metrics of the business, sub connections, market share growth, good enterprise business, good wholesale business, data growth, ADS, all those remain very healthy. Just affected by the key macros in terms of customer ability to spend, and in the end, the impact of load shedding. I'll ask you now maybe just to overlay that a little bit. Thank you.
And so I think you've largely covered it. However, if you look at the quarter performance, you would have noted that for prepaid, you do see a softening trend, right, from quarter one of 1.5%, then quarter two of minus 1.2%. But as Charles says, if you normalize for load shedding, that minus 1.2% would have been, in fact, about 1.7%. So quarter on quarter, you would have seen a better performance had it not been for load shedding, noting that the biggest impact of load shedding was in fact in quarter three, with almost 50% of the impact residing in quarter three, and quarter one having had almost no impact at all. And if you look at the total service revenue performance, we've reported 3.5%. If you normalize that for the impact of load shedding, what we would have reported is 4.8%. So underlying service revenue performance is quite strong comparative.
Thanks, Nina.
Yeah, so you want to take the question on data revenue trends?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so of course, in the what we are picking up is that obviously there has been, good momentum. I think what you need to take into account as well is that, the base is growing, so you will see a slight softening, as you grow. But we've been encouraged by the fact that data now is obviously, in terms of our Ambition 2025 strategy, we're starting to see it growing as a percentage of total service contribution. So I think that's the important part, and because we're seeing, data traffic growth increasing, supported by, the structurally high demand for those data services, we do expect that to continue to grow.
Yeah, Mahendra, I mean, you're asking a question more thematically across 19 markets, so it's quite difficult to give a simple answer. What I would say to Todd Pantel and what Sulu has said is that, as I mentioned, the SA prepaid voice, in my mind, the reported results, is lower than what we would have expected. Dinner gave a sense of the load shedding impact, and the prepaid data that has had a similar effect. That's the one area I watch, on a monthly basis, is what's happening there. So that's the only one I'd call out. There isn't anything systematic across the markets that I'd be concerned on in terms of data growth. Jasper, over back to you.
Yep.
To the operator.
Thank you. Our next question is from Cesar Tiron of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi everyone. Good afternoon. Thanks for the call and the opportunity to ask questions. I have two, if that's okay. The first one would be for Ralph. If you can please repeat the country list where you're making changes to the tower agreements, and also let us know how long do you think this will take, and how do you expect this to impact margins in the midterm? And then the second question would be on the Nigeria margin trends. What actually changed in the past couple of months so that the margin outlook is looks actually better for the second half this year as it looked couple of months ago. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Cesar, sorry, you may be one of the people who was taken out of the call on the web link, so I'll repeat you know, the markets that we're talking you know, to telcos, that's Nigeria, there's Rwanda, there's Ghana, Uganda, and obviously South Africa, Cameroon, Cote d'Ivoire, and Zambia. Those are the markets. And then on the margin side, I mean, we had communicated with the half year results that you should anticipate softer margins, but that was on the premise of us, you know, doing quite an aggressive acceleration on fintech. We pulled back on that cost of sales investment as Serena and team were very focused on making sure that we get the NIMS interface integration, you know, to work perfectly, as perfect as it can be. So because we pulled back that cost of sales acquisition, that's been supportive of the margin. So, you know, all things being equal, which car should be able to deliver this margin profile to the end of the year. But the big driver there has been the fact that we pulled back on a much more aggressive customer acquisition. Once Serena's completed with the team and country, they've completed the NIMS integration. For sure, we'll push that, and that you should anticipate in the second to early next year. And I will communicate further on when we've completed or are now fully opened and launched NIMS inbound and NIMS outbound. I don't know if Serena got anything to add.
Yes, on NIPS, I mean, we had some technical glitches and we've now stopped a bit or slowed down the commercial activities to redo the integration, which is now almost done. And we are looking at relaunching it commercially before end of the year for the inbound and the outbound. And also at the in the meantime, we will also working on really making sure that also we get more ready in terms of commercial on the distribution network, customer acquisition also framework.
Finally, on your question, I realize I didn't answer fully your question, Cesar, and say how long. I mean, these discussions on telcos, I mean, they don't get done very quickly, but I think we should be able to talk about progress with Q1, where we are of the lot that I've mentioned. I'm hopeful we'll have done all of them, but certainly we'll have done some of them. And, you know, what we're trying to achieve is focusing on two aspects. You know, one is power and how we're managing the power. You know, where do we take diesel costs through and where not? You heard Charles talk about e-buyers availability. And then, importantly, what is the mix of local currency and hard currency elements to the use fees? You know, not all elements of or cost of production are kind of hard currency index, but we're sensitive to that. But you know, when we get the right mix of local and currency, and these are the discussions we actually have to have, and actually have started to have across these markets. So we should be reporting progress versus the steps with full year results when we release in Q1.
Our next question is from Nadim Mohamed of SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and congrats on a resilient set of results. Just two questions from my side. Firstly, just a bit of a follow-up to Mehdi's question earlier. Just would like to unpack prepaid a little bit more. So I do understand that load shedding and poor network availability are weighing on prepaid. But there's still quite a big disconnect between subscriber growth and revenue growth. Just would like to understand, like, is there maybe a high incidence of churn in the market or maybe low value sites being acquired? Just trying to get a sense of why there's such a big disconnect between the two. And then secondly, just if you could provide some color on the Momo taxes in Cameroon and Benin, just trying to get a sense of the quantum and how the let's see how FinTech progressed post the tax has been implemented and what is MTN's reaction to those. And for example, did you introduce any price reductions in market and how long do you think it will take to get back to the same level of growth that you were in pre-taxes? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll distribute these questions. The SA prepaid to Charles, and we're going to talk about that, balancing the trends and debt in revenue, prepaid data, and sub-acquisition. And Serene on, Benin and Cameroon. And I think it'll be useful to top and tail. Maybe I can come in there in our discussions on e-levy in Ghana, because we've been talking to the authorities there. Okay, maybe Charles, you can start.
Yeah, Nora, thank you so much. Look, I mean, the number of customers we connected, we said above 800,000. So that number, the precise number is about 884, in thousands. And if you double click on that number, you'll see three numbers. You'll see the prepaid number, the postpaid number, and the telemetry number. The prepaid number is about 272 out of the 884. So the biggest number, of course, is the telemetry, followed by postpaid, and that you are seeing on the postpaid numbers, which looks very good. And the prepaid is 272. You will also understand, I think with the market of South Africa, which is so highly penetrated, that largely, pretty much every operator at the moment, to connect at this scale, you're connecting practically low ARPU customers. So if you look at the ARPU level on the prepaid side, last year this time, I think we're sitting at about 76, and we're now on 70. So that will also help you to explain why the loading of so many customers does not result in the direct translation in terms of revenue conversion. So is that the type of subs you're connecting? But also to say that the total bucket of connections are not all prepaid. And if you look at postpaid, excluding telemetry, we managed to hold on the ARPU level. In fact, a slight increase on the ARPU level at the postpaid side. So that just shows you prepaid customers are customers that are under pressure. They're looking for deals. So they're roaming from one network to the next and looking for deals. You are seeing it also in terms of the type of bundles they're looking for. And then the depletion of bundles. So that's just where it's coming from. Hope that answers your question,
Yeah, and maybe just to add to what you said, Charles, you also then start to see it in the effective rate per minute.
Yes.
From a voice revenue perspective, as you see a steady decline compared to prior quarters.
Yeah.
Really just what Charles has articulated, affordability factors coming in for the prepaid consumer.
Yeah, I mean, just to maybe to close on that point, I think South Africa is probably in kind of market repair mode, Charles, if we honest with ourselves, and I think one or two of the competitors have been talking about price increases and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's the market should be more rational going forward. Mm-hmm. At that end of the market. So the way we monetize those customers is actually trying to get better churn outcomes from that market. Do you want to talk to Serene on Cameroon and Benin?
Sure. So this year, it's on FinTech in MTN, we were, I would say, very unlucky with taxis because we got taxis in a lot of markets in the same year, which doesn't happen so often. And also, it happened in some of our biggest markets. So you asked about Benin, Cameroon, but also we got e-levy tax in Ghana. So what we did is that when we got the taxes, we beginning of the year in Benin and Cameroon, we adjusted the prices to make sure that the services stayed affordable for our customers. We have been seeing some elasticity since we adjusted the prices, and it took a bit of time, but now we are seeing growth back in both Benin and Cameroon. So unfortunately, in Cameroon, the competition is also very becoming very aggressive as well. So we've already dropping prices, but we'll see how we react to that. But we are seeing growth again in both markets. And I think the tax which impacted us very hardly was the e-levy in Ghana. That we had in May, but we put a lot of effort in the market. We dropped the part of the P2P pricing by 25%, and also we did have a lot of engagement with customers to educate them, to explain to them how it is working. And now we are after 2-3 months, we are seeing also a lot of growth back in Ghana, and we are. Hopefully, we will continue, that growth will be sustained for next year. And overall, also what we are doing is that we are really engaging ourselves on the journey of pushing the advanced services, which are more dependent on taxis, so that we can also continue growing the activity.
Yeah, one final point, you know, we've been engaging regulators on price increases, as we said, and Carl would have mentioned in Nigeria. In Ghana, we are talking to the authorities and sharing our experiences. And, you know, what we said, and we saw them last week, that, you know, the trend for these taxes is that they actually are regressive forms of tax and actually hurt the poor and potentially can impact, you know, the development of the ecosystem. I mean, we'll continue to engage with them and share data and experience. We've shared the reports from Tanzania, the work done by the GSMA, and ultimately of the lifting. But I think to give you a sense, I mean, we keep saying some of these are short-term impacts. I mean, we've seen Uganda now growing very strongly. Uganda did have, you know, a draw tax that impacted for a couple of quarters, but we're seeing healthy growth. That's what gives us the conviction that a medium to long term, this fintech business and the opportunity remains very solid. Tato, are we still taking any questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think for our sins, it's the quality of the call. We can give them
a blame. The quality of the call with you, right?
It's not me. We can take a couple more questions, operator, if they are.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ziad Joseph of Nedbank CIB. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. If you could just maybe help me in understanding your South African wholesale revenue line a bit more. I know Selfie is still in the middle of a transition, and Gauteng and Natal are still meant to be fully transitioned. I think that's the bulk of their traffic. But I was under the impression that there has been, you know, some form of network transition taking place over the last 3 months. So I was a bit surprised at the 0.7% revenue growth for the wholesale business. Is Telkom roaming less on MTN's network, or do you expect the Celsius, you know, roaming traffic acceleration to take place over the next 12 months, given that the business has completed its recapitalization? If you could just maybe give me a steer on how we should be modeling this going forward the next 6 to 12 months. And then the second question is on your strategic partner for FinTech. You mentioned there's specific verticals you're looking at. Would you be able to maybe disclose what are the two or three verticals that you are most keen on getting a strategic partner for? Thanks very much.
We are not going to fall into your trap because we are going to triangulate and figure out who these people are. So on your second question, if you don't mind, we'll not answer that one.
No,
we are in process. But you said partner. I mean, obviously, we're talking partners. It's not one investor.
It's one.
I don't think of it as one investor. Charles, you want to talk about you know, the dynamics in wholesale?
Yeah, maybe just to say this. I mean, we still have about 40% of Celsius traffic to come on the network, or 40% of the entire profile. So there's still a lot of room there. I mean, we've been quite pragmatic in terms of how we onboard this traffic, in terms of the deployment of CAPEX, and also, I mean, just to allow them to complete the recap. You'll see much better acceleration coming in into next year. So that line, I think, has got a very good runway going forward. Telkom as well. We're now expanding. I mean, you know, it's also a one-year-old deal, you know, not even 1 year, you know. So it's coming up. You know, I will not necessarily disclose the number, but, of course, our slice of that business is still quite small. But we're also encouraged about our discussion that we have with them. I will not necessarily disclose which regions that they've now allocated, but our discussions with them was that we're building from the south up and going up. And we've taken down from the south, and then we're in discussion with them to look at some other areas and regions. So there is still good, you know, runway for this business going forward. And also to top it up, I mean, there are other MVNOs. These are the key ones, of course, but
We are talking to a number of MVNOs. We've made it very clear around our strategy to become a carrier of carriers, what you call network as a service. And we're building an MVNO as a service platform. What that will do will enable us to actually onboard as many NGOs and MVNOs as quick as possible. So that generally talks about our ambition. That's why I think the performance and investment in the network will be crucial going forward. So very healthy line, I would say. You know, if I was to give any guidance, I would say very healthy line now and going forward.
Okay. And thank you so much. I mean, and is it fair for us to assume that this definitely is, I mean, our understanding, it's quite a margin accretive line, like relative to your broader business margin, the wholesale business has a higher margin structure?
Yeah, I mean, the formula is this. I mean, we have relatively decent network capacity, and we have managed to actually take most of the traffic with minimal level of a capex required. And that also comes from the spectrum configurations that the team has done a fantastic job on, the pooling of cell spectrum and the pooling of liquid spectrum, which were the only ones in the market who has provided that capability. That has enabled us to actually, you know, overlay as much traffic as possible without any impact on the network. I mean, you still have to make some form of investment, but relative to the generation and cash conversion, I mean, it's really a highly margin accretive business. Yes, thanks.
Maybe just to add on what Charles has mentioned, with regards to Cell C, you would have heard Ralph mention that we supported their recap through configuration of concessions. So that has had the impact that year on year for Cell C would have seen a reduction in revenue that we recognize. So when you consider then going forward into 2023 and onwards, you would see an increasing trajectory on that revenue specifically. And because, as you mentioned, wholesale is more margin accretive or Cell C, because we would have seen a decline in revenue, that would have also flowed through to a decline effectively at an EBITDA level as well. That would have had an impact.
Understood. Thank you so much. It's very clear.
Can maybe take one more question?
Thank you. Our next question is from Jonah Bradley of APSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. Three from me, please, and apologies if you've already covered some of these. My line cut out earlier. So if you could just clarify on the rate at which you repatriated funds out of Nigeria. Secondly, if you could tell us how much revenue was unrecognized at the quarter end from the Cell C BTS rental contract. And then lastly, on your fiber, if you could tell us what your plan for fiber to the home in SA is. Are you looking to roll out your own network in South Africa, or perhaps looking at other inorganic opportunities? Or, you know, are you open to going back to the table for a deal with Telkom?
So let me pick the number one and number three, and then Sulu can pick up and an error on Cell C unrecognized BTS total revenue. On the Nigeria, for the $1.5 billion, the rate was averaged 560 naira to the dollar. Sulu, you want to talk about Cell C unrecognized with Tanera?
Yeah, I mean, I think we indicated in my brief earlier on is that we had about 82 million of unrecognized revenue relating to national roaming, and that obviously would have been part of the cash-based accounting in the past. As we made it clear that we've now moved to the accrual basis of accounting, and as far as that is concerned, but the BTS rental is still on the cash basis of accounting, you know?
And that's for general BTS unrecognized value is 205 million as at the end of September. We've chosen to remain on cash accounting for BTS in order that we give ourselves enough time to establish a credible payment history, because we don't feel as comfortable with payment history as we do on roaming.
Thanks. Okay. I mean, just on fiber strategy, I know not to rehash it for the other people on the call. Charles, can you talk a little bit about the fiber strategy in South Africa and just your home in like 2 minutes?
Yeah, thanks, Ralph. I mean, look, we will execute our organic home strategy. And I'm saying home deliberately because I try not to always speak the technology, because the battle for the home will be attacked on multiple fronts. You know, there's multiple layers of tech that you are using to get into the home, and you've got 5G or fixed wireless access, then you've got fixed LTE, you've got fiber as well, and then we're also fortunate that we're the only one in the market who have what we call a Tarana wireless spectrum that use unlicensed spectrum with high range and better penetration propagation. So we also agree as a business that we'll prosecute the strategy on two fronts. You know, so in the essence that we're digging a tunnel from two opposite ends. So we've got one digital brand called Supersonic, a very nimble player, 60,000 homes connected at this particular stage and growing. And we're rebuilding that business. We believe there's a lot of potential as a nimble fixed mobile convergence player. We're also digging from the MTN side as well, fixed wireless access and LTE. And in totality, then we're looking at almost 680,000 customers. This will include home, FTTH, FWA, FLTE, and of course, the small routers as well. You know, so it's a multi-layered approach into the home. We are not ruling out the eventual inorganic should there be a need to do so, but we are really now positioned very well to actually prosecute the organic strategy that we have at the moment. Thank you.
You know, just on your last question there is, you know, would we ever rule out any further conversion? I mean, you can never say never. So, I mean, in life, one can't be religious. So if you think that something can still make sense, us as MTN, we'll always do what we believe is right to deliver value to shareholders and deliver a great customer experience. I'm mindful of the time, Tato. I know that we investors on the call for a long time, but I'm happy to take more calls, but if you want to shut down the line.
No, that was the last question. We'll make sure that the recording is up probably within the next 30 minutes or an hour.
Okay.
I don't know if we've got any closing remarks.
Yeah, no, just to thank each and every one of you. We've spoken to many of you in the quarter. It's been a busy quarter. I think the next quarter will still be very busy. I mean, we remain very highly convicted of our investment case and the work that we need to do. There's some short-term headwinds, but we'll see through all of that and continue to execute and to deliver on the guidance and the strategy that we propose. So thanks for dialing in. For those who battled earlier on, our apologies from our end. Please send any questions you have to Tato, as you well know, and we'll answer them very timelessly. We'll get the script up as quickly as possible for those who missed. And I hope to see all of you, not most of you, at the Capital Markets Day. We'll focus on FinTech as well as the progress we're making around ESG. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.